course, at the time of this picture, but he's since gotten out and is working in Dallas. Margaret's mom is the gray-haired lady in the middle, and she lives with us. Her name is Mimi. She has a real name, but nobody knows what it is. So she's just Mimi. And so that's our family, and we are pleased to be with you guys tonight. So let me just open for us in a word of prayer. Father, thanks for the time together tonight. Thanks for Midnight Madness and for Houston's First and for such a great emphasis on equipping and learning. And thanks for all these folks who are with us tonight at 10:30 when they could be, if they were our age, going to bed, or the age of most people in this room, going out and just getting started on their evening. So Father, thanks for that and just for how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. So when our oldest son, Chris, was headed off to college, we gave him a cookbook called A Man, A Can, and A Plan. And it was a really simple cookbook that had every recipe only had 3 or 4 ingredients. They all came in a can. Now, some of them were like spam and green beans and stuff like that, but some of them were
really
good.
He still uses it. He's only 28.
Anyway, so this simple thing of just pulling a few ingredients together is really sort of what mentoring using only scripture is about. It's pulling a few things together in key ways, seasoning them well, and then serving them up to people that we're mentoring.
So, and scripture obviously is huge, and this is, you know, using scripture and not a lot of other materials that we're going to be talking about, but scripture is huge. When I was in junior high, I had a woman who was my mentor, who became my mentor, because I was really just beginning to understand what a relationship with Jesus is about, but her name was Martha, and the thing that I remember about Martha is just, we would hang out at her house a lot. A lot of my friends did, our whole youth group would hang out at her house a bunch. And we would go over there, we'd have a great time, we laughed a lot, she was tons of fun, so was her husband, the whole family. Anyway, we would laugh a lot, we'd play a lot, we studied the Word, we just did all kinds of things together. We lived life together. And the thing that I remember most about Martha was, you know, anytime any of us had a struggle, an issue or something like that, go to Martha and say something about it, and she would say, okay, well, let's see what the Word has to say about that. And, you know, everything was the Word. And she had such a passion for the Word that I caught. And that's like the major thing as a mentor, you know, that you would hope is that, first of all, you have to model a passion for the Word. You have to be passionate about the Word. And you want the people that you are mentoring to catch a passion for the Word, because there's nothing that's more important than the Word itself. So anyway, but Martha was huge. That was a huge part of my life, and she knew the Word really well. And there was always a promise or a principle or a truth that would apply to the situation, and I caught that, and it was just wonderful. God says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As leaders, which I know you all are, you know, what we are to do as leaders in God's church is to help people be thoroughly equipped for every good work and to help them to follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Help them follow you to follow Jesus. That's what mentoring is all about. And to make fishers of men, to multiply, to catch fish and help them to grow up, to be mentors, to be teachers of God's word. So, if we really look at this, we can kind of take a new look on what it looks like with fish. And the whole, you know, fish and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Last year, Roy and I went to Seattle and we went to the famous fish market. How many of you guys have been there and seen this place? Isn't it amazing? There are fish are flying all over the place. Actually, the Southwestern, my brother graduated from Southwestern Seminary. And they had it in their magazine that came out this month. I was like, oh my gosh, that's the fish market. So anyway, the fish market is amazing. But it is so amazing that several years ago, there were some people who went there and they actually wrote a book, a leadership book on that. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's been out for a long time. But it was called Fish. And it has 4 principles of leadership that really applies to mentoring. It really applies to what we're talking about right here, because it is about leadership and about using scripture. It is amazing. But there's 4 principles. And those 4 principles, the first one is choosing your attitude. And, you know, in choosing your attitude, we have to keep remembering or reminding ourselves. You can go on to the next slide, because we're having to shorten this. We only have 50 minutes instead of an hour, we found out. So anyway, the choosing your attitude is really God's helping to always know that God's word is best. His answer is the best. It's in the word, and the word is the best way of life. God's way is absolutely the best. The second concept is to play at work. Share fun together. As you're sharing scripture and you're mentoring people, have fun. Make it fun. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, we love that scripture says, we love you so much that we shared with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. You know, you're sharing life together. That's what mentoring is all about. Making someone else's day. That's the third principle. You know, making someone else's day, know the people that you're mentoring well enough that you can bless them in unexpected ways, send them a little text and encouragement, find ways to just give them a little surprise encouragement. It'll make a huge difference. And being fully present, and always, when you are there with them, be with them. You know, be all there, not just partly there.
So as you're beginning to mentor somebody with intentionality, it's really important to understand where they are to start with. And we do a ton of coaching in our organization, and one of the most common things that you do in coaching is the first thing that you want to do is you want to determine their current, this is not a good marker. Okay. Their current reality. So you want to see where they are right now. And then you want to talk about their desired future. Where do they want to go? And the key to coaching and the key to mentoring is really figuring out the strategy that is going to move them from their current reality to their desired future in one step at a time. So we can think about it as kind of moving from one rock to the other, the current reality, to the win, maturity. And as we are discipling people, mentoring them, our goal really is spiritual maturity that reproduces into others. And Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 does a great picture of maturity. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that's really what it's all about, and that's the whole purpose of the church, is to equip believers to become mature believers so that they can reproduce into others. So what we're going to do now is a little exercise at your tables. If there's only one or two of you at a table, you might want to combine with somebody else so that you can benefit from the discussion. But what we're going to do in just the next few minutes is if each person would take one or two verses from here and look them up and read them and then think about what does it say about various what does it say about steps in maturity or stages of maturity as we look at believers? So pick a verse, like, take the first two, the next two, that kind of thing. Decide who's going to take what. Read them quickly to yourself, and then at your table, talk about what do we see in terms of different maturity.
It's called Tex-Mex.
All right, so read a scripture, and then after everybody's read them all, each read your two or whatever, then talk about what does it say about different stages of maturity.
I don't see them all, but they're not here. No, I don't see them.
It's on the
Okay.
Last three, John 8:31.
Start at the top or the bottom?
Which is total faith in your parents who are helping you with the stages of the book. So yeah, like newborn babies, we pray that. Right, right. That's true.
The more you
buy,
the more you grow up.
Just back. Yeah, as a child.
About two more minutes to be looking at those different kind of stages of the church. Might not be quite finished, but I know at least one table started at the bottom and worked their way up, so we'll be able to cover all the verses. So if you look at this, out of the first couple verses, the John 5:24 and John 3:3, what do you see about in terms of kind of stages of maturity? We what do you see in those first two verses?
It's very early stages. It's just this salvation point.
Okay.
Death to life.
All right. From death to life. An early stage. Anything else? Okay. This whole concept of being born again, as we, you know, we often refer to it. Okay, how about the next two? 1 Peter 2:2 and Ephesians 4:14 through 16. What'd you see in that one in terms of maturity?
I think that's like the new believer. You know,
okay.
You're thirsting for Christ, but it's like you just, you know, came to know Christ. And then also there's still a lot of need for growth there. So there's a lot of questioning of like kind of being back and forth in the waves. You're not completely have a strong foundation because it's so new to you.
Okay, very good. So that little baby's infant, brand new believer. Yes, very good. All right, and then how about John 13, 34, 35? What did you see there?
Love one another.
Okay.
Growing
up. Okay, growing in love, yep.
I think it's almost like sanctification, being like Christ, love like I'm loving.
Okay, so to become more like Christ, mm-hmm. To be his disciples. Good. How about 1 John 2:13? What stages of maturity did you see there?
Knowledge of him.
Okay.
Okay. To get back victory.
All right. Okay. How about in terms of kind of age or, you know, span of maturity there, what did you see?
We saw that you've already demonstrated that they're mature. Somebody mm-hmm. else recognizes that in them. So they're kind of pointing it out.
Okay. All right. Good. And so this, and he talks about how he's writing to fathers, young men, and children. So it kind of gives us that idea that there's multiple stages of age. Okay, how about John 15:8? What do you see there? What are we after in terms of maturity?
Evidence of the reality of a true unity with Christ. You start bearing fruit.
Okay. All right. Very good. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, John 8:31.
Abiding in his word.
Mm-hmm. Good. Abiding in the word. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. So that whole picture of what it is. So if we look at these, some kind of common ways of sort of taking these scriptures and pulling them together in terms of stages of maturity is we really move from being spiritually dead to a baby or infant, to a child, to a young adult, to a parent. So I'd like to just out loud as a group here, share some characteristics. So when you think about somebody who's spiritually dead, what are some characteristics that would describe that person?
Unsatisfied.
Unsatisfied? Mm-hmm.
Lost.
Lost? Mm-hmm. What else?
Living for themselves.
Okay, yeah, living for themselves.
No fear of sinning.
Okay, yeah, no fear of sinning. Okay, so now you become a baby Christian, you know, you're a brand new believer. What are some characteristics of that stage?
Got a lot of questions.
Lots of questions, yeah.
Eager.
Mm-hmm.
Superficial.
Superficial, yep. We have a way to go. Good. Any other thoughts on that one? What's that?
Influenceable,
yes.
Yeah, and listen to these things, because these are the kind of things that as you're mentoring somebody, you're going to be listening for these kind of things, because you're going to have to figure out where they are.
Their current reality.
To know where to take them in scripture to get them to that next step. So go ahead, I just wanted to reinforce.
How about a child? Somebody who's kind of young in the faith, how would you describe them? What are some characteristics?
Eager to learn.
Eager to learn.
Oh, weird. Whoa.
What's that?
Yeah, we say like these guys same time.
All right. I think that's a jinx, right?
Great minds think
alike. Curious.
Curious.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Simplicity.
Simplicity. Good.
Stubborn.
Stubborn. Oh, yeah, I've seen some of that. Yeah. All right, how about young adult? What do you begin to see as somebody moves into sort of the young adult phase of being a Christian?
Becoming more confident in the faith.
Okay, more confident in their faith?
Really specific struggles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, they will start to ask questions, more deeper questions, or kind of gray area questions, I call it. You know.
Uh-huh. It's not the simple black and white, but
right.
What about?
They start making more connections.
Uh-huh.
They kind of make their faith their own. They're, like, personalizing their faith.
Yep, they make their faith their own, they personalize it. Very good. All right, and then how about this last one, parent?
Mentoring.
Yep.
Good.
What else?
Nurturing, teaching, self-sacrifice, other-focused.
Yep.
Caring
about others.
Putting sin to death.
Putting sin to death, yeah. And this whole idea, I mean, in order to be a parent, we have to have a child. So we want to be reproducing. So I think that's key. And as we look at some of the needs here, really people who are spiritually dead need the gospel. Those that are kind of in the baby, infant, and child stage really need some foundational verses to really understand what they believe and why they believe it. And then the two later stages, really what they need is dependent on their interests and their specific needs. So if it's a particular sin they're struggling with, that's a place you're going to take them in the scripture. If it's a place where they just need to learn and grow, then you're going to take them to those kinds of areas. So that just gives us kind of an idea of what we can do to help people grow. On your tables, there's a sheet that has a little blue box on it. It's got tons of writing on it. We are not going to go through all of this because it's designed for you to take it home. But basically what this exercise is, it's another diagnostic tool to figure out where people are. And so really what you do is you kind of walk through a process. If you look at a wheel where Christ is the center of it and the outside of the wheel is us as disciples, then we want to look at these six specific areas in their life. And so you can actually drill down and say, okay, you know, how are you doing when it comes to spending time in the Word? And so you can, well, actually you start with, you can actually, and it explains all this on here, I don't want to spend too much time, but you draw the wheel on the outside and then you talk about how Christ needs to be the center of our life, but maybe Christ isn't first in their life right now. So he's a little bit off center, and so they're not drawing the kind of power from him that they could be. And so as you can take that home and read through it and, you know, kind of figure out how we could use this as a diagnostic tool to help people to grow and figure out where they are.
Yeah, and as you use this tool, you know, it's really helpful to share about where you are first, you know, because you're modeling. And, you know, we are, and most of you in this room, probably all of you would say, oh, yeah, I'm Christ-centered. I think I am too. But you know what? 24/7, we're not always like right on. I mean, you know, there are times when we think our thoughts, not God's thoughts. There are times we make our decisions, not God's decisions. You know, so we're definitely on a process. So, you know, if you're kind of modeling this and saying, okay, you know, Christ is not quite dead center in my life, you know, all the time. I'm a little off to the center. You know, my wheel's a little wobbly. I'm working on the prayer spoke, or I'm working on the witnessing spoke, whatever. You know, but, you know, help them understand this is you haven't arrived, and they've got a long way to go, and you hope that they're going to get as good as you are. That's not the idea of mentoring. You know, both growing together in your life, encouraging one another. So, now, as you're using this wheel or any kind of diagnostic, anything, and you're thinking about what scriptures do I need, you know, obviously you need to know the scriptures. You don't always have to know everything. Remember, you can Google just about everything. You know, if there's a need or an issue and you don't know where to go, you know, you can Google it. There's lots of good resources for all that kind of stuff. But also, you know, just big picture, you know, as you're reading and studying and learning the Word, learn where there's big sections of things that you can take people to. Like, for instance, if you're looking at this and you're looking at the spokes, let's go back to the spokes for just a minute. You know, if they're baby Christians, or they're, you know, they've got a specific, you know, they, let's say they're baby Christians, or, you know, fairly immature, they haven't been in the Word very much, they don't know the Word. You know, where's a place that you might take them? Somebody tell me a place where I could take kind of a newer Christian, and to help them understand and begin to gain a real strong value for the word. Where can I take them?
First John.
Yeah. First John would be really good.
John, I think the book of John.
John 1, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, Word was God. Yeah, the Word's pretty central there. I love Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. It's all about the Word. Lots of places, you know, you can take them. But have those things in your toolkit, and you know, in your heart, in your mind, so you can take them there. What about prayer? Where's the place you can take them for prayer?
Nehemiah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was definitely a man of prayer, obviously. Yeah.
Luke,
where the Lord's Prayer is. And I think there, in Luke, there's 18 places where... different places where God is, where Jesus is, you know, different types of prayer that he does. So, anyway, how about fellowship, community?
Acts 2.
Acts 2. Ah, yeah. They were gathered together for prayer and the word, fellowship.
Romans 12.
Yeah, Romans 12. They're having, you know, issues that, gosh, Corinthians is great on body life and struggles we go through, you know, especially more mature Christian, you know, gosh, that's great. So, okay, how about witness? Where can you take them for witnessing? You know, we see a lot of people in the church, even fairly mature Christians, they're not reproducing, they're not sharing their faith, they're not, they're fearful, you know. Where can you take them to help them with sharing their faith?
I think Galatians, yeah.
Galatians?
It brings joy to people.
Wait, hold on. What's Galatians? What are you saying about
it? Well, it, when it talks about, Paul mentions that brings joy to the Father when his son's name is fed.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's great.
He says, I'm not ashamed there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Said Acts.
Acts. Because
yeah.
There you have a lot of.
You'll receive power
you.
When the Holy Spirit
exactly.
comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses. Yeah, absolutely. So Acts is good. The whole story
Romans.
Of Acts.
Romans.
Romans.
What?
Romans 3:23 and 6:23.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Those are great great verses. One of those is you can do one verse of evangelism with Romans 6:23. So anyway, yeah, great stuff on witnessing. How about service? Where do you take them? They're not serving.
Or they don't understand serving.
Yeah. And you know that if they were to serve, they would...
The body of Christ in Corinthians?
Corinthians, sure. There, you know, really, almost every book, there are images and ways that, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to say serve one another to show service. You know, you get lots of stories, the Good Samaritan, lots of stories about, you know, how people can... serve. And Nehemiah, servant leadership if they're a leader. I love that, you know, that story. I mean, Nehemiah's whole book. How about stewardship? That's another younger people. We are finding that, you know, younger people we had to be taught to give. We did not grow up in homes where giving was stewardship. I never thought about stewardship growing up. When we got married, we didn't.
Malachi, yep.
Malachi, yeah. Malachi's great, great. How about, let's say that they're just having trouble with obedience. Where would you go? That's kind of that outside living the life. You know, if they're just struggling with obedience with God, you know, they know what God wants them to do, but they
Jonah.
Just... What?
Oh, Roman.
Jonah.
Jonah. Jonah.
Jonah's
the greater
really
one.
I
like that.
Romans, I do.
Oh, yeah. Romans is really good, too. So these are all good. But that's what you've got to be thinking with the mentees, or I'm not sure what you all call them, but with people that you're mentoring, that's what you always have to be thinking. You know, where are they? You know, how can I move them forward to where they need to go? And then in the context of scripture and mentoring, there is nothing more important than helping them to understand that they need to read the scripture reflectively, not just study the word, but to have quiet time. You know, so that's like probably one of the first things you need to do with any kind of person you're mentoring is find out where they are with their own individual personal time with God, daily time with God. The Reveal assessment, spiritual life assessment. You know, there's been. Like
half a million people in 2,000 churches.
Yeah, incredible number. It's the only statistically valid study out there on spiritual growth, and that shows, you know, how people progress spiritually. And the number one finding out of that entire study that's still being done with churches is that the number one thing to move a person from one stage to another, regardless of which stage it is, every single stage, there's like a list of five or six things. Difference here, differences here, differences here, difference here. The things that really helps people move. And the number one thing, though, in every single category is reflection on God's word. Reflection. Reflective reading on the word. Not study. That's different than Bible study. Reflective reading. You know, listening, helping them to understand, to hear God. How do I relate that relationship with God? So you teach them how to, there's a couple of cards we're going to give you. There's a couple of models that I'm not going to go through. It's self-explanatory, but, you know, there's a stop, look, listen, and respond. And then there is another model, 7 minutes with God. the stop, look, listen, and respond method is the same as you can actually use it, like with your Bible study, if you're going to study and you're using like observation, interpretation, application, that's the look, listen, and respond. But it's really important to stop, acknowledge that this is God's word, that we are reading it as a conversation with God, that it is, you know, that's what, and it's not just study. So we stop, we listen, you know, we look and see what it says, we listen to what God's saying through it, and application. Application is really strong. That's, mentoring is so much about that life application. You're helping them to apply the scripture in the context of whatever their situation is, whatever, you know, part of life they're living. So that quiet time is huge. And then another card that we're going to pass out to you is the word hand. And that's just another tool that you can, there's four fingers and a thumb, and scriptures to go with each, but you can, you know, kind of use that with them sometimes as an illustration to help them understand that, you know, like if you just, you know, if you're just hearing the word and that's all you're doing, it's not a real strong grip on the word. And if you hear and you read, it's a stronger grip, and there are scriptures to go with it, and those are on the card, so I'm not going to share them. But anyway, if you study the word, you get even stronger grip, meditates even more, and if you're meditating, memorizing and meditating, there's no way anybody's going to take that word in the enemy. Nobody will take that word away from you. So your grip on the word is really strong. So, you know, as you're going through the scriptures, determine where they are on that. It's another diagnostic, another thing that you can encourage them with. So the word hand.
So speaking of scripture memory, you know, they say that you teach out of your weaknesses. So I will confess, even as a navigator, that scripture memory is one of the toughest things to do. But Margaret and I are really working hard at that. And it really is amazing what a difference it makes when we actively hide God's word in our hearts. If you're mentoring somebody, it's really helpful to memorize scriptures together. So pick a passage that you want to learn or something that they want to learn about and do it together. A couple of resources for that. Taking the Word to Heart is written by Nancy Taylor right here at Houston's First. It's an excellent book about how to memorize scripture. She has memorized over 800 scriptures.
She's crazy.
And it's amazing. I mean, we were at lunch with her today, and her husband is like, she couldn't not quote scripture. It was so awesome.
Every single point, there's a scripture. I mean, it's amazing.
She has a word for everything. Like you have something going on, and she's like, I have this word. I'm like,
I aspire to have a tiny little bit of her scripture memory or scriptures memorized. So,
and then the other one is the topical memory system. And at the break, after the last one, Tammy came up and showed us her verse pack from 30, how many years ago?
37
years ago. She started carrying this around with her. And it, you know, hiding God's word in our heart makes an incredible difference. And you know, you think about, oh, I always have my phone with me, I can pull up YouVersion, you know, but you don't always have it. And so anything that you can put in there makes a huge difference. You know, think about the psalm where David says, that word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So just the benefit of scripture memory is huge.
You could tell them about the carabiners right now, maybe too, because there's carabiners in it too.
Well, what a great idea. So on your table are various colored little fish carabiners to remind you of the whole fish concept. And then there's some scriptures on there, the five foundational assurances, like assurance of salvation, assurance of answered prayer. So those are a great place to start with somebody who's learning and new in the faith. There's also a picture of the word hand on there to help you remember, and some blank cards that you can add your own scriptures as well. So you betcha. Yeah. You know, there's a ton of research about scripture memory that has come out recently, and one of the things that shows is that by memorizing scripture, you can actually rewire your brain, and they are starting to use it with people who are addicted to pornography especially, but other addictions, and to soldiers that are suffering from PTSD. By memorizing scripture, it actually rewires their brain and helps them to recover from this. So it's incredibly powerful. You know, why should we be surprised that God really wants us to do it? So let's talk just really briefly, and this is on here, so it's just the whole idea, if we have 60 minutes or 90 minutes that we're meeting with somebody to mentor them, here's a way that you can structure the time. So you want to spend the first 10 or 15 minutes just fellowshipping, catching up. That's important. That's building relationships and getting to know them better. And then the slashes are, if it's a 60 minute, you spend 10 minutes. If it's a 90 minute, you spend 20 minutes. So we want to spend some time sharing from our personal quiet time. What did you hear from God this week in the Word? Not last month, not 6 months ago, not what Pastor Greg preached on Sunday, but what did you hear from your time in the Word? And then if you're using some kind of discipleship material, spend 20 to 40 minutes, depending on the time, talking about that, discussing it, and then closing in prayer, praying for each other for real needs in real time. So that's incredibly important. So if we kind of recap and look back at what we talked about earlier, we talked about this whole, these four principles of choosing our attitude. So going into this, you know, delighted that we get to share in other people's lives, that we get to help them to grow up to the point where they're actually reproducing. And that only helps us to grow as well. Playing at our work, so making it fun. You know, I didn't become a Christian until my junior year of college, and I was not raised in a Christian home at all. And I thought that Christianity was the religion of rules and don'ts. And there was nothing fun about being Christian. And, you know, I was really all about play and having a great time. So when I came to Christ, I was determined to prove to the world that you could be a Christian and still have amazing fun. And, you know, we have a life that is more and better than what anybody else in the world can experience. So we need to be showing that every day because of our relationship with Christ. So this whole idea of playing as we're working, you know, doing things together, making memories together is huge. This whole making someone else's day. So it can be as simple as just sending them a text. You know, I read this verse and I was thinking about you today. Or I saw this and it reminded me of you. Or, you know, calling out a specific thing that you saw in them in a good day. You know, the other day when we were together, I saw you really being, you know, this. When our kids were little, we were trying to teach them the fruit of the Spirit and, you know, the nine fruits. And so we made this little tree, we spray painted it gold, we had these little fruit, you know, strawberries and grapes and all this kind of stuff. And when we saw them, I know it sounds corny, but it reinforces it. When we saw them exhibiting one of those fruit of the Spirit, they got to take that fruit and go hang it on the tree. Mm-hmm. And it was a reminder that that was something that they wanted to see developed in their character. Mm-hmm. And then this whole idea of being fully present. You know, don't be distracted, don't be on your cell phone, be fully engaged with those people. And that doesn't mean you can't go watch a movie together or something like that, but when you're present, be present. When you're, you know, just hanging out, just be hanging out.
You know, in using scripture with in any of these things, remember and the whole idea with the fish and the whole fish market is that it is really about a holistic life experience. That's really what mentoring is. So you're caring about the whole person, and you're bringing scripture to life, and you're helping them to learn to think through the lens of scripture and not just pasting a scripture on top of something. And that's really huge because, you know, Roy talked about, you know, rewiring scripture memory, rewiring the brain. This whole thing, and when we're helping them with applying the scripture in a lot of people say that the longest 1 foot journey is for that journey from the head to the heart. That's what we're trying to do, is get the scripture from their head into their heart so that they really are not learning information, but it really is transformation. And that's a huge difference because for years, psychologists and everybody has really worked on behavior modification. Mm-hmm. And behavior modification works short term, not long term. It's transformation that is the only long term thing. And you want to pour your life into these people in a way that makes for sustainable life change. So we're going for, you know, for transformation. But that is a different way of using scripture. So it's not just learning, but it's applying. And that's the whole mentoring relationship is all about. So just overall, do you guys have any questions or comments? We have about
3 minutes.
Actually, we have more like five, I think.
Oh, that's
so
right.
11:20.
20, yeah.
11:20, you guys are going to be, you've got to be walking out the door at 11:20. They gave us some very good guidelines on that.
Did they quote scripture for something?
Yeah, really. It's almost like
that. Nancy could do that.
What was the name of her book again?
It is called, let's see, let me go back. Right there. Taking the Word to Heart.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you know the name of that study about rewiring your brain?
It's in...
Or where do you locate it?
You can actually Google it because there's actually more than one. It is, yeah, there's several. I think the first one that I read about that was probably several years ago, and it might have been in Christianity Today.
I was thinking CT is where
it
was.
There was one that actually gave some... comparisons to how they're training policemen too. You know, just so that you actually act with, anyway, I'm not going to go into it, but it was really good stuff. So it's just a natural, your body's natural response is different. That's what we want, our natural response is the fallen response. And so our transformation is little by little growing more like Christ. Our natural response becomes a Christ response, because that's how we're going to be effective in the world, is to be kind of that incarnational model, to be like Christ. That's why, we're not attractive in ourselves, it's Christ in us that's attractive. So the more like Christ we are, the more people will see. Okay.
There's a Christian neuroscientist named Dr. Caroline Leaf, who's written extensively on that too.
Caroline
Leaf.
Leaf. Okay.
And she's
like
LEAF.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and you can Google her, it's real easy.
Okay.
Yeah, she has quite a bit of research pointing to that too.
Awesome. Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you. Yes. I just wanted to say I'm a dietitian and a nurse, and I've been working with functional medicine providers, and they're very smart, biochemistry. And I was listening to one of their lectures, and it's this field of epigenetics that we can actually turn our genes on and off. And they were saying that they're finding that our thoughts actually communicate with our genes to turn them on and off. I mean, very powerful if you think about that. And as they were talking, I'm just thinking of, the mindset on the flesh is death, the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. And it's like our Creator who created us, and He's telling us to, take every thought captive to obedience to Christ, knows all these intricate, He made the biochemical pathways.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
That's great. One of the major things as you use scripture, like scripture only in mentoring or whatever, if you're not using a curriculum or materials or something like that, is to remember, in that coaching scenario, you're always trying to move them intentionally forward. Make sure that the foundations are solid, that you're building on solid ground. It's really easy to get excited about what they need or what their want is, because you got to balance want and need and try to blend those together in a way that they really enjoy. But the five solid foundations are the basic assurances. Those are the five scriptures that we put on your little fish carabiner. So those are absolutely foundational. So make sure that they learn those scriptures and they learn to live them out. Scripture memory, the key to scripture memory, and we know this, and we're really working on this too, is review. you go back the ones that, and still the ones that I've reviewed the most, I have to review the ones that I learned years ago. You just have to, we have friends that have been navigators for a long, long time, and they'll spend an hour a day just reviewing verses, and I'd like to do more of that. We're trying to do more of that.
And I will say it's amazing how often God gives you opportunity to use it. One of the scriptures I'm working on right now is James 4:6, and it says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so I started memorizing that like 2 weeks ago. I bet I have seen it in print or heard it from people at least 20 times since then, and I've had opportunity to share it. So, God will bring it to mind if it's there. So.
And you can utilize it, like the little verse pack she had, or the carabiner. And the thing is, if you take it in your pocket or take it with you, when you're in traffic, you have 5 minutes, and just if you're waiting to see somebody. it's just you can utilize the little couple minutes here and there to review a scripture or two, and when you're going to sleep at night, review a scripture or two. But when you start living scripture, and it's really, you are living, breathing scripture like the Word talks to us about. When we're doing that, then the people that you're mentoring will catch that. If we're not modeling, we have to model the behavior that we want to see and the kind of things.
Well, it's like the lady was talking about tonight when she wanted to be a good example for her son. She said, "Look at where the pastor said, look at where you are now. That's where your son will be in 20 years." Mm-hmm. That's what we want to do with the people that we're mentoring. Where we are now is where we want them to be. So we want, first of all,
we
want to make sure
we want
to be sure we're in the right place, and then we want to realize that we want to model that and pass it on.
Yeah. So Kelly, you have something.
You said something about navigators.
Okay, so Navigators is the organization that we work with. It's an 83-year-old Christian organization that focuses on life-to-life discipleship. So, you know, there's lots of organizations that do the evangelism part, but we kind of do the next part where we help people grow to
the point of reproducing Christians. So we work with churches to help them have people that are reproducing. So sharing the faith and growing people
up. Do they still have like a mentoring group here that they started a year or so ago?
They're
accepting applications right now.
Okay, there's lots of navigators in every.
No, she's talking about here.
Oh, here, yeah, they do. They have a group.
They have both a men's and women's.
Nancy Taylor is in charge of the women. It's a tie group, so the one that does the memory stuff. And the men's is going well. They both
have it. It's me.
There you go, right here.
All right, we got the men's expert right here.
I wanted to share a practical thing when I ran out of the little topical memory. I went to an office supply store and just got those like price tags that had the reinforced hole and these rings.
Oh, yeah.
And then just they're hanging all over the car and the house.
That's awesome.
You know, and then you can like sort of take them off and group them into categories. And
that is great.
And the cards are about that big. So.
That's great.
Yeah. And already pre-punched holes. Awesome.
All right,
so we need to let you guys go. So let us pray for you, and thanks for coming. So Lord, we just ask right now that you would just bless every single person in this room. Lord, help them to catch a greater hunger for your word. Help them to exhibit you, to breathe the air that you breathe, and Lord, would every aspect of their life just resemble you. Lord, would you help them be attractive to others? I pray that you would put people in their lives that they'll be able to influence, and the right people, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you would just help Scripture to enrich their lives and help them to experience more and better life than they've ever dreamed of. Lord, thanks so much for this tonight, their time, and I pray that you'd bless the rest of the evening. We ask all this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And we pray for Senator.
Thank you guys for
coming.
Thank you.
I don't know if she did that to you or
Sarah.
It also is becoming.
She could have.
I don't know what you got, sir.
Look at my job. Pretty close to the near
term.
They're going to start.
But then,